This is the Reading Instruction Show. I'm your happy, jolly, genial host, Dr. Andy Johnson. Title of today's podcast is called The Lesson Beyond the Lesson. There's always a lesson beyond the lesson. We think we're working things out in one area, but we're also working them out in another area. We think we're learning one thing, but we're also learning a whole bunch of other stuff. And we think we're teaching one thing when, in fact, we're also teaching other things. We just don't know it. There's always a lesson beyond the lesson, and there's always the thing beyond the thing. And the thing about lessons beyond the lesson is that they're often more powerful than the initial lesson. Now, let me explain this a little bit. Recently, the Minnesota State Legislature passed what is called the READ Act, sponsored by Democratic Representative Heather Edelson. And it's a law based on the fad of the day, the shiny new thing called the, quote, science, unquote, of reading. And ironically, this law is based on misconceptions and ununderstandings related to both science and reading. This law, passed by Democratic Representative Heather Edelson, states that I and other literacy professors in Minnesota must follow, with fidelity, the mandates put forth by state lawmakers. And, by the way, these are lawmakers who have never taught a kid to read, who have never read a research article related to reading instruction, and whose knowledge about reading instruction is reliant on the information given to them by radio journalists and podcasters, present company excepted, of course. As part of the READ Act, the Minnesota Department of Education is now forcing me, a literacy professor at Minnesota State University, to teach things to my students that a wide range of research, not one study, but a wide range of research, has shown to be ineffective in helping young children to become literate. And that is to use reading and writing for real purposes. That is literate. Not passing or marking bubbles on some standardized tests. I am forced by the Minnesota Department of Education to teach the pre-service teachers in my literacy methods courses at Minnesota State University to engage in educational malpractice in their future classrooms. I must teach educational malpractice to future teachers. The Minnesota Department of Education mandates that these future teachers learn strategies that will impede their future students' ability to achieve their full literacy potential. In other words, I must promote the deliteralization of children by telling teachers to focus primarily on low-level reading subskills instead of higher-level cognitive functions related to reading and comprehension. And worse, much worse, I must teach them how to suck all the joy out of reading. If there's any joy, we must stamp it out, the Minnesota Department of Education is telling us. So the lessons beyond the lesson. What are we to really learn here? What are the lessons beyond the lesson in the READ Act here in Minnesota? And what are the lessons beyond the lesson in the 32 states that have passed similar reading laws? What are the lessons beyond the science of reading lessons? What are we really teaching? What is the great state of Minnesota, teaching us here? Four lessons stand out. Thank you, great state of Minnesota. Lesson number one. knowledge, expertise, and experience are not of value. That's the lesson. For the last 28 years here, the state of Minnesota has paid me to be an expert in literacy instruction, teaching, and learning. I'm paid to know how best to teach reading and writing to children and adults. I am paid to be well-informed, to keep up with research trends, and to do my own investigations and scholarly work. And the state of Minnesota is getting their money's worth out of me. By all objective and subjective standards, I've done my job exceedingly well, thank you very much. And I continue to work hard to study, publish, teach, I tutor kids, and I do what I can to move the field of literacy instruction forward. You're welcome very much. But the READ Act says that I and other literacy experts must feign ignorance. We must ignore our knowledge, expertise, and experience, and instead we must teach what is not true. As well, the knowledge, experience, and expertise of classroom teachers is to be similarly devalued and discarded. What do they know? The great state has declared. They're just teachers. They need to shut up and follow the directions. We don't pay them to think, says the great state. So teachers with their own ideas about how to teach reading are sent off to letters and Orton-Gillingham re-education camps until they're willing to implement the official program with fidelity. They're conditioned to ignore the responses of the students in front of them. They're forced to ignore their own knowledge and experience because the great state knows better. The great state knows all. Thank you, great state. Read the directions. Follow the directions. Don't think. Do, says the great state. Lesson number 2 from the great state. Real science is not of value. Real science starts with a question and uses research to answer their question. Pseudoscience starts with the answer and designs research to support their answer. Real science recognizes the limitations of anecdotal evidence, personal experience, tradition, I thinkisms, and data used out of context. Yet these are the very essence of pseudoscience. These are the very essence of the science of reading. These are the very essence of the READ Act. Again, the READ Act is based on anecdotal evidence, personal experience, tradition, I thinkisms, and data used out of context. That is their quote science, unquote science. Lesson number 3. If you can't win the argument in an academic setting, you should go outside the academic setting and you should bully, threaten, and silence those who disagree. That's the lesson here. Now, in an academic setting, the term argument is not an angry quarrel or disagreement. Rather, it's the formal process of presenting a point of view and then making a case for it using supporting propositions. Academic discourse consists of these types of formal arguments using reason and research to make a case for one's point of view. Now, within the academy, disagreements and differing views are considered healthy, as they lead to continued evolution of the field. And the academy here, when I use that term, it refers to the academic community within a field. The Academy are the scholars and researchers who seek to improve or maintain standards within their respective fields. And here it is literacy instruction. Now, academic discourse commonly takes place within peer-reviewed academic journals and professional conferences, but it takes place elsewhere. But again, respectful academic discourse using reason and research is considered an essential part of the academy. And the READ Act wants to cut this out. Now, within the academy, there is not and never has been universal agreement as to how best to teach reading. This is a discussion that's been going on for over 100 years. And it's only those outside the academy who have dubbed these discussions as, quote, the reading wars. Now, that term, there is no reading war. There's a continued discussion. That term is useful in selling books and selling reading curriculums and programs and making money for people. But it's not at all helpful in moving the field forward, and it's inaccurate. The real war here is the war against the academy and the war against science. Within the academy, the science of reading zealots have failed to make a compelling case against balanced literacy approaches. They failed to make the argument in favor of a purely skills-based approach. In an academic setting, their arguments simply don't stand up, often because they can't accurately define or describe balanced literacy, and often because of their propensity to use pseudoscience to make their case instead of science. The READ Act in Minnesota certainly could not stand up to rigorous academic debate within an academic setting. It could not. That's why they called in Emily Hanford to testify, and not me or other real literacy experts. If you were to write an article proposing that which is in the READ Act, you would find a very hard time getting it published in a legitimate academic journal related to literacy. Heather Edelson and the Science of Reading Advocates couldn't win the argument within an academic setting. They couldn't. So they circumvented the academy. That's what they do. That's what the science of reading does. And the result is that the natural academic discussion and peer-reviewed vetting of ideas that would have occurred were bypassed. Instead, pseudoscience, cartoonish portrayals, misinformation, and even a radio journalist with no expertise in the field were all used to make the case for an extremely limiting form of reading instruction, and it's called the READ Act. They can't win the argument in an academic setting here in the great state. They can't even have the discussion. So they've gone outside the academic setting, and they bully, and they threaten, and they silence those who would disagree. Lesson number 4. The great state has given us this lesson. You can avoid addressing the cause of a problem by focusing on the effect. Of all the variables possibly impacting reading achievement, the zealots have determined that balanced literacy is the cause of a problem, and structured literacy is the solution. However, reading difficulties are often the effect of other issues, such as class size, teacher quality and certification, professional development opportunities, the number and types of books in a classroom and school library, parents' social economic status, the economic base of the community, number of kids in a classroom, school size. All these are just some of the variables impacting students' ability to read. Healthcare, nutrition, these have much more of an impact. The type of writing instruction, opportunities to read good books, these have much more of an impact. But yet you, great state, and you, zealots, in all your wisdoms, you have determined that the one variable impacting reading and reading difficulties is this thing called balanced literacy, which you do not know what it is. And you have determined, out of all the variables, that structured literacy is the answer to this mythological problem. Now, since I posted this online, Andreas Jurewicz, I'm sure I messed up his last name, had another lesson, and I thought, this is a good lesson. So, Andreas, I'm putting your lesson up here as lesson number 5. Here's the lesson number 5, Andreas said. His lesson is, politicians have reformed our public education system into something that does not work for teachers, students, or society as a whole. That's not really a lesson, but I thought it was good, so I threw it in here. And he goes on to write, and it only seems to get worse. We should have a moratorium on political interference with education for at least 2 decades, and then see if we see any progress on literacy and skills, especially skills that are not measured by standardized tests. Ooh, Andreas, I love that idea. Has anything good ever occurred when state and national government gets involved? Well, I'm sure some good has occurred. But if you weighed the good and the bad far outweighs the good whenever government gets involved, whenever government intrudes on the classroom, whenever government thinks they know better than a well-educated teacher. This has been the Reading Instruction Show. You can look forward to part 2, 3, and 4 on another date.